tonight. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get after it tonight. We got a lot to do here. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for being our presenting sponsors. All right, so look, we got some great guests lined up here tonight. We've got Brad Smith of the Houston Dynamo, the left back, coming back from the ACL injury. He's had a goal and an assist in the last couple of games. Now, we all knew he was being brought in to be the starting left back. It's taken a while with this ACL injury. This is a fascinating injury because you're going to learn. It's a fascinating injury for sure. But it's also a fascinating interview simply because Brad Smith at 14 went from Australia to England as a 14-year-old with his parents to be a part of the Liverpool Academy. We'll talk about his debut in the first team at Stamford Bridge. Big, big interview. You're going to enjoy this one. You're going to learn a lot about him, too. Christian Ramirez, you remember him from the Houston Dynamo, went over to Scotland. The man scored goals against Celtic and Rangers over there. He is back with the Columbus Crew. Columbus has added some real attacking pieces, most recently Diego Rossi, who was over at Fenerbahce in Turkey. He's a designated player now. They come in with a lot of attacking power tomorrow night to play the Dynamo, who at home have been very, very good this year. And then the outside the box segment tonight. We've got a great musician, Eric Johansson. I've seen this guy play. He's a smoking gun with a guitar in his hands. He's going to play at the Continental Club on September 8th. But interesting to talk music with him. So we did one with Jesse Dayton. We do one with him as well. Brian McDonald behind the glass. And I had to lasso him before he got out of here. But Patrick Creighton here has graciously stuck around here. So I just put something out on Twitter, Patrick, and I figured, you know what, Patrick's here. I want his take. The greatest signing in the history of any sports league in America is it Lionel Messi of Inter Miami and MLS.
You know, this is, oddly enough, a conversation that I've had off air, like, I think 2 days ago. Because you and I had this conversation like a week or so ago about the massive influx of interest in MLS because of Messi. Like, they're going to have to start moving games from soccer stadiums to football stadiums to accommodate all the people that want to buy tickets. It just cash cow. Because you were explaining to me the, communal ownership of MLS and how everybody kind of shares in equally, so everybody shares in the windfall of money coming in.
So those other 28 teams, do not kick Messi.
Yeah, do not hurt him.
He's our golden goose.
But the amount of interest in MLS has got to be up 1,000%.
Like, do you see it in mainstream sports?
Yeah,
do you see it with any of the guys around the studio or other places? I do.
You see it online.
Yeah.
The amount of Messi interest. Every time he comes in and then scores a goal within 5 minutes, Twitter am I allowed to say Twitter? Is it X? I can say X or Twitter.
Either
but
one.
It explodes with just content of Messi. Here's a video of Messi scoring, 50,000 hits. Content of Messi scoring, 100,000 hits. It just keeps rolling and rolling. I am finding myself watching more soccer because of Messi. Just that alone, because of Messi.
But how about impact and relevancy? Because, look, it's almost an unfair comparison because, you know, look, Major League Baseball here is the top baseball league in the world. The NBA is the top. So, in some ways, you're not bringing somebody in outside of the league. We're bringing the greatest, most noteworthy athlete landing in not the best league in the world, but a league that is growing, it's impacting more people. We plucked the guy that 7 months ago with Argentina held the World Cup aloft with that blue and white striped jersey in those colors from that soccer-playing nation. And the global nature of the sport to think that this guy lands in MLS, I mean, it's still really, I'm pinching myself still.
Here is maybe the best way I can explain it. Shohei Ohtani is baseball god in Japan.
I was thinking about him on the way over, actually.
You know, moves over to Major League Baseball, where he's probably going to be the MVP again this year. He is the greatest player in the game, maybe the greatest player in 100 years. But in Japan, he's super god. He makes Ichiro look like a bench warmer in Japan. And think about, Ichiro's a Hall of Famer in two continents.
Oh, I loved Ichiro.
Now, what Messi is doing is he's taking Ohtani's extreme popularity and drive of Japan, and you're applying it worldwide.
And look, baseball's a global game, but not to the nature of soccer.
No, nothing is.
Nothing is. Nothing is. So, you know, part of it is just the overall popularity of the game. But that's a good – I like you bringing up Ohtani. That's a pretty good one.
He's going to be bigger to MLS than Gretzky was to the NHL.
No, that's another good one. Now, some people have been texting me back, what about Pelé in the 70s? Yes, because at that time, soccer players, you know, they weren't transferring and going to leagues all over the world into Europe from South America. You know, you generally played your career with one team. He went from Santos to the New York Cosmos because he was chased around the world by Clive Toy and Phil Woosnam, who ran the league for many, many years, which in very much, in many ways, parallels what has happened with Miami. I mean, they've been chasing Messi since 2019. They've got lifestyle on their side. And Lionel Messi chose America and the United States because of lifestyle for his family. He could have made quadruple the money he's making in Saudi Arabia. I am so glad that this guy came, because I think the fact that he's a family man, he represents humility. He's got a lot of these characteristics that are very different than a Cristiano Ronaldo or a Neymar if they came. He's just, this guy looks like he plays and scores a winning goal and goes home and plays in the backyard with his kid. I mean, you have to love it. And I think sports needs those types of athletes with humility to lead the way. And he's leading the way in Major League Soccer.
And understand, this is not about comparing Pelé and Messi. I don't think you can compare guys 50 years apart.
Time periods.
You know, and look, I am not besmirching Pelé in any way, shape, or form. Not only was he the greatest soccer player of his generation, he helped Sylvester Stallone defeat the Nazis. So, I mean, you could do that in one lifetime.
There was a few more people who helped defeat the Nazis,
but,
by the way. But
what
God bless
you think
them.
About the economics of sports and the new global reach of sports. Yeah. You didn't have satellite television, the internet, you know, wire services like we have today. If Pelé played in Brazil in 1974, nobody in America had a clue.
Do you know something?
You couldn't get the information.
All of my friends and me that grew up in New Jersey, that we were called like the Cosmos kids, because we were all of a sudden, you know, we watched them at Randall's Island, then we saw them go to Yankee Stadium.
And if you went to Randall's Island, you were a hardcore fan, because that place is a dump.
Yeah, and then that was then too. And the next thing we know, we're in Giants Stadium, and there's 70,000 people coming to games, and the elites are coming in limousines, and Pelé is there, Warner Brothers owns the team, you know, Robert Plant, Mick Jagger, they're showing up at games. It's the in thing to do, and they're limoing them out from Manhattan to the Meadowlands, right? But the Pelé coming here, you know, it enabled all of us in New Jersey. We have to realize how lucky we were. We got to see this guy over and over for the Cosmos, game after game. Whereas, you know, people around the world were dying to see him in person. I mean, I must have seen him play 20-plus times.
And that's it. If, you know, in the 70s, him, Pelé playing in the swamps of Jersey at Giant Stadium, if you lived in the UK, if you lived in France, if you lived in Italy, you didn't see him. Today, you can play anywhere. It's on YouTube, it's on Twitter, it's on TikTok, it's on every social media platform. You could stream it on 10 different streaming apps. The global reach of sports and the now money that comes in. Think about the salaries even a guy like Pelé made in 1970. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to Messi makes $50 million.
Yeah.
And that's on a pay cut. Yeah. He makes $50 million. Yeah. He took a pay cut. So it's wild to think about how the economics and the reach of sports have grown.
Well, that's a whole nother discussion, and because for me, I don't know about you, it's become over-commercialized in a lot of ways.
It has.
I'm worrying about the nuances of the game. I'm worrying about our attention being taken away to all the other things that happen in a ballpark, as opposed to wanting to watch Hector Herrera orchestrate the Houston Dynamo, or Brad Smith sprint 50 yards and take a ball hit on a dime from a goalkeeper off his chest and sail it into the I worry about that. I really do.
I don't disagree with any of those things. But because of the commercialization, because of the monetization, the impact is so much greater than it has ever been before. And you've got the best of the world on the biggest stage in the country with the most money. It is the most impactful thing that we've ever seen in sports, because you have to keep it in perspective. Where was MLS before we got here? Where are they right now? And where are they trending?
Yeah, well, they're trending up because of one man. You know, and there's other tertiary things that come along with Messi. Sure, we know, you know, the eyeballs on Apple TV. Of course, we know the jerseys, the ticket sales, you know, all of those things that in common we know he's going to affect. But then there's other things, like he takes his team to the final of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, who, by the way, the Dynamo get the crack at him in Miami and are going to get that attention also. And I hope that's I hope we do a lot of work to activate that in Houston with mainstream media. But just back to that. Now, all of a sudden, people are finding out what the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is.
Let me pose this to you another way. For how many years has it been the big four of North American sports, NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, and MLS has always kind of lagged behind?
Some will say MLS has taken over NHL's fourth spot.
It hasn't yet. But if we put apples to apples and said Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals versus Messi in a game with Miami against the this Hunt Cup, I bet you the Messi will outdraw.
Game and now we're really Stanley at the Cup point. Finals is pretty good, but yeah.
Now we're really at the point where the interest in MLS because of Messi may actually truly usurp the NHL in terms of viewership, in terms
moment.
Of money. Platform and moment is everything. And right now they have.
So Pelé did it. Beckham did it. They all did it in their own ways relative to where the sports was. Pelé did it at a time where the sports wasn't grassroots. It wasn't in the suburbs. It was only in ethnic areas, you know, growing up on the East Coast with near me in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area.
Hey, we got to see the Arrows, the Coliseum.
Yeah. Beckham came. Beckham, you know, his influence was infrastructure, new stadiums, an influx of bigger name players coming into the league, right? So a lot happening there. But Patrick, I'm going to let you go because I've got to make sure I get a couple other things tonight. Hey, great visiting with you. Thank you for your thoughts and insight on it, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you for having me on, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Patrick Creighton. That's Late Hits, even though they're not as late as they once were. But that's Patrick Creighton, and he's a good man and doing good stuff here. So thank you for that, Patrick. All right, so here's what we got tonight. Again, we mentioned, and we appreciate Patrick's take on that. 713-780-3776. Let's get your take on it tonight. We can go to the Heights right now. We can pick off Thomas, who wants to talk about the Dynamo and Messi. Thomas.
Hey, Glenn. Excited for the episode. I called in last week, and the question was, were the Dynamo getting ready to put on some an offensive show or keep it going? And from what we've seen, they're rolling in all cylinders, right? So that's exciting to see. I have friends, jumping a bit for my season tickets now, and they're getting excited behind the Dynamo. They don't, they just assume, Miami will be in the finals, and so everyone wants my tickets just to go. So I'm really excited. Taking a few friends tomorrow, so it should be a good match. I'm excited about your interview right now with Brad Smith, because I was just talking to my cousin. He's like, dude, every time I see this guy get on the pitch, he makes incredible plays. And so it's good to know that he's getting healthy and hopefully into form. Would love to see him more on the field, but understand he's recovering. And then, yeah, I just wanted to hype up the match tomorrow. And then also I got my tickets for Miami, my flight booked, so I'll be at the U.S. Open Cup final, man. I'm really excited.
So tell us how you got those tickets and who did you go through? Did you go through U.S. Soccer for those?
I was aware that I went through SeatGeek. So SeatGeek is partnered with, Dynamo season tickets. And so I was just on there because I knew Miami had the first dibs. My member services told me that they weren't able because it wasn't through MLS. It's through the U.S. Open Cup or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if someone immediately flipped them onto SeatGeek for whatever, but I was just lucky right before 2:30, right before I went on public sale, I found some tickets. They're nosebleeds, fetched quite a penny, but I have to go support the guys, maybe get a cup, and then also watch the GOAT play. But yeah, I was nervous. I had already booked my flight. When we went up 2-1 in the semifinals, I had the Spirit flight booked, and then Salt Lake was attacking, so I held off from pushing the buy button. And then once he scored the third goal, I bought the flight and worried about the tickets. I figured it'd work out if it worked out.
So I'm assuming that game sold out now, right?
I would assume so. So while I bought my tickets, I just had to see if I got fleeced or not. So I went on to Ticketmaster, who's the partner of Miami, and I waited 20 minutes in the queue, and then they had single tickets, and my tickets were right underneath. They were only selling single tickets 20 minutes into the actual sale. So and I think it looked like standing room. So yeah, I imagine, and it looks like they were going for double, triple what I had paid. So it was. I think I got really lucky.
All right, I'm on SeatGeek right now, and they got them for $244, $357, $256. All right, they're out there if you want them. Thomas, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to take a break here. Desmond Decker, The Israelites. This is a great early reggae song. This is prior to Bob Marley and Peter Tosh. Okay, so here's what we got tonight. You calling in at 713-780-3776. We got tonight Brad Smith, Houston Dynamo defender. We have Christian Ramirez from the Columbus Crew. Christian Ramirez will be on the show tonight. And then Eric Johansson in the segment that is called Outside the Box, and he's going to be playing here in Houston at the Continental Club on the 8th of September. So if you're a guitar guy and you like a good band, this guy is an unbelievable guitar player. Excellent. And has a new album out. So you'll get to hear about that a little bit later tonight. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking some Houston Dynamo, Premier League. We got a lot to catch up on here. I appreciate Patrick Creighton jumping on there. And again, we'll put it out. Biggest signing ever in the history of professional sports in this country, any league. Is it Lionel Messi coming to Major League Soccer? Right now, a pair of tickets, pivotal game tomorrow night, Houston Dynamo, Columbus Crew. Pair of tickets, caller number 5, 713-780-3776.
Pulisic sees the run. Loftus-Cheek opens the angle. And there is Pulisic. The American scores in his first two games in Serie A.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Boy, we got to give that Italian commentator a little bit of coffee there. Come on, get a little bit more excited. Pulisic scores for his second consecutive match. Milan 4-1 over Torino, and the fans are serenading Christian Pulisic in the Italian Serie A. Now, this is a big, big deal because I believe there are more people tuning in to watch some of the Serie A action in the U.S. because they want to see how Christian Pulisic does. And for me, the big thing for him is just durability and staying injury-free. And let's hope he does that because he is a magnificent footballer to watch play the game. Welcome back to the show. Hey, great place to watch the Premier League. Great place to watch any sports, quite frankly, It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, Markey Entertainment Center. As you go out to Katy, it's on your right-hand side. Markey Entertainment Center, all the great English pub food, bangers and mash, shepherd's pie, great beer selection, great whiskey offering. They do steak nights, I believe, on Thursdays. So get out there. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub out there in the Markey Entertainment Center. We've done a lot of live shows there. I've mentioned that many, many times before. Okay, so Christian Pulisic, that is a big one. Burnley won, Aston Villa 3 in the Premier League. Sheffield United went down 2-1 to Man City. Man City got a late goal in that one to win it. And we're noticing that there are some late results this past weekend. Liverpool also picking one off. Lionel Messi came off the bench for Inter Miami against the New York Red Bulls. So Liverpool defeated Newcastle 2-1. That may have been one of the marquee games. The Houston-Liverpool supporters group out there at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Then Saturday, Bournemouth went down to Spurs 2-0. Arsenal 2-2 with Fulham. Paulinho, tying goal in the 87th minute for Fulham. Fulham got goals from Saka and Nketiah. And then Harry Kane, by the way, no longer at Spurs, over in England now. Hitting the score sheet twice. So let's go to the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich against Augsburg. This is soundbite number 8, Harry Kane.
Let's see what he does here. It is Harry Kane for Bayern to score. The first moment of many in Munich for Harry Kane. His second Bundesliga goal. Goal kick. From the new number 9.
Oh, he's so clever in the middle, huh? Rob. Because Damen moved to the left side. He was thinking he would change his side, but in a very cool and clever.
Cool and clever. You would call Harry Kane that. There's no question about that. He'd get a second. Here's what the second sounded like.
No changes yet from Thomas Tuchel. Past the midway point in this second half. Coman. Davies, that's a nice exchange. Kane is ahead of them to score. It's Harry Kane again. 2 for Bayern's new striker. He is living up to the hype.
It's 12. But look at the football from the back. Oh, Pace, Davies, Coman, you can't stop them when they start to play. And then the movement from Harry, that's a real striker. I love to see that. And look at that touch, dinking the ball over the goalkeeper. More must. Fantastic goal.
Fantastic goal. Harry Kane is a fantastic signing for Bayern because I think he fits into their system in a very good way. He's able to check back into midfield. He can playmake. You get people getting in front of him once he playmakes. He's a real tester for center backs because of his movement and his ability to come back. But not only get turned, but also punish you with the pass. There's guys that can get turned that, yeah, not necessarily can hurt you always via the pass. Well, Harry Kane can. Sticking to Europe here, and then we'll get Carlos on here in a minute. Play-by-play goal of Barcelona. This is Lewandowski. Now, this is a late win. It's a 4-3 win for Barcelona, who get this one late show.
Que no pierde de tiempo, sale rápido por abajo. Por afuera va Sergio Roberto, Yamal, encara, ahora sí, el zurdazo, palo, el rebote, Lewandowski, gol, gol, gol. De Barcelona, apareció Lewandowski, apareció el polaco, sí, 4-3, partidazo.
I guess you can tell that was the Spanish call of Barcelona's 4-3 victory over Villarreal. All 7 goals were scored, by the way, in 71 minutes of that game. The game winner there, Lewandowski, obviously, for Barcelona. It ended up being a tap-in. That game had 7 different goal scorers. Prior to that goal, it was Yamal, as you heard, off the post. And Yamal's one of these rising young talent that Barcelona's going to have to depend on quite a bit. I don't think any question Xavi's got to get a lot out of these young players if they're going to compete with Real Madrid for the title. Real Madrid did confirm the hamstring injury for Vinicius Jr., expected to be out for quite some time. They had a 1-0 victory over Celta de Vigo, but that's big injury blow for him. Jude Bellingham, their big signing, getting the goal in that one. All right, Carlos in A-Leaf wants to talk a little bit of Houston Dynamo, so let's transition a little bit into the Dynamo. Carlos.
Hey, Glenn, how's it going? It's your friend Carlos.
Carlos, how are you? I like friends.
I'm good. Hey, how's it going, man? Hey, so I just wanted to, first of all, give you a big shout. I love the show. I love you know, hearing your takes, man. I love it, first of all. But, yeah, dude, so I heard you earlier. You were talking about how well the Dynamo has been doing so far. I'm impressed, too, because coming from, like, last season, it was kind of, like, frustrating to watch the matches. Now it's just like, wow, this team has just blown us away by their performance, you know? So my question is this. Do you think they're going to keep doing that for the following couple of seasons, or do you think it may just fall off again anytime soon?
Well, let's slow down and backtrack a little bit. We all knew this was going to be a better team based on the roster moves that Pat Onstad made, right? When you have an engaged Hector Herrera, when you have a number six in Artur acquired from Columbus, when you have Coco Karaskia, you have three midfielders who are incredibly competent with the ball. Then they sign Amin Bassi. So you've got a lot of talent in midfield, guys that can hold the ball, can control games for you. They didn't have that in these prior rosters. They couldn't hold the ball to save their lives in recent years, right? So outside backs couldn't get forward. The games were chaotic. So because of this nucleus of guys in the middle third of the field, you're automatically going to be able to compete because they not only protect the back four, they supply the front runners, but they provide a level of stability that allows you to keep your team compact and have a good team shape. And that helps you compete. And that's before we get into how well the back four have done despite injury problems, etc. So I think we have to just pull the reins down because the big question all year long, and you've heard it on this show, is number one, chance creation. Yes, the last three games, small sample size, boatload of goals rushing in. No question. Dynamo scoring goals like crazy. They did it against Real Salt Lake twice. They did it against the very poor Portland. Now, they helped make the Portland Timbers poor, but they did fire their coach the very next day. So a lot was going on there. So I don't want to rain on the parade. I think I'm probably being a little Ben Olsen-like right here, keeping everybody's feet on the ground. But this is clearly a better collective defending team. It's got as capable of a midfield as any team in the league. It's a deeper roster now. And it has seen players live up to the challenges of, you know, positionally having to do something a little bit different, being asked to do things tactically different, and many other things. And that means the coach has got to buy in, and they're competitive and they fight, and they have a leader, and their designated player is the leader, and he's proven that to us this year, and that's Hector Herrera. So the real question is, you know, as we get down this stretch run now, we got, I think, nine to go, including Columbus. Can the Dynamo continue to find a way to score goals? And up until this point, none of us were convinced we had a goal scorer. Now we're saying it may be Corey Baird, right, because he's scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're saying Coco Karaskia has hit goals twice. By the way, another guy who is playing out of position and doing it well based on Herrera and Artur. So, you know, look, the goal is the playoffs. This is about the playoffs to me. It's not a successful year unless you get into the playoffs based on the context of non-playoffs over the last 10 years, all but once, right? I mean, the Open Cup is great. What a magical moment. You're going to play Inter-Miami, and you're going to get, you know, you're going to get that attention. Being on the field with Messi, it's wonderful for the players, the staff, for the fans. You know, we heard Thomas before. He's already bought a ticket. He's going. The Open Cup is exciting. And it's going to be volumes more exciting for me, though, if the Dynamo make the playoffs, as opposed to the Leo Messi and the Miami Sound Machine down there, right? The Dynamo got to get in the playoffs because the Dynamo have to lay the groundwork of consistently getting into the playoffs in a league that is very forgiving to get in the playoffs. 18 out of 29 teams make it. You got to be in the show. I mean, come on. I mean, it's got to change, and it has to change this year. So for me, the priority is playoffs. I don't know what everybody else thinks. And I'm excited the goals are raining in. I want to see him. I want to see him go in tomorrow night at home against the Columbus Crew again. And I want to see this good play in the final third and execution continuing, you know, to come to fruition here. Because, look, if you're playing in tight games all the time, it's a lot of pressure. But these last couple of games to get leads and get early goals, this is a wonderful thing for the Houston Dynamo. So that's kind of my take. I don't go over the top too much. I keep it in perspective, but I certainly am happy they're scoring a lot of goals right now, and I want to see it continue tomorrow night against Columbus.
Oh, definitely. I like what you said about Hector Herrera being such a leader, such a great facilitator. And it was like we didn't really expect that from him. I guess at first I didn't personally. But as you see him develop, as long as you see him gain this chemistry with this team, you see how great of a leader he's turned out to be. And I think it's been very beneficial to the Dynamo this season, you know?
Well, look, he's engaging, he's pushing, he's prodding teammates, he's electric at times, he's an idea man in the attack. You know, you need more end product off his delivery, but he's a joy to watch orchestrate the team. And look, he's a DP being a DP. Your designated player's got to be your best players. I mean, if they're not, then you didn't do good business, right? No questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he was engaged with Mexico in the World Cup. He didn't have the supporting crew that he has now. Now he's got Artur around him, and you know, he's fully focused on the task at hand here. Now, that said, he just got called up by Mexico again, which is no surprise to me. But to be able to watch him game in and game out, and in his own way, he's our Messi here in Houston for the soccer crowd, mm-hmm. right? Not comparing him as player, but he's a fantastic soccer player, very different player. And it's also fascinating because when he was at Atletico Madrid, he didn't have this reign and freedom. You could tell he loves this free role and this freedom he has, and you can see he's enjoying his football a lot. Carlos, sorry for being long-winded there. Thank you for calling in from A-Leaf tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Dave.
All right. That's Carlos. Thanks to Carlos. I appreciate him. Okay, we'll come back. We'll continue Dynamo Talk. Got a little bit on the Dash. The Dash will go to San Diego on Sunday. Boy, they got to score goals. Lowest scoring team in the league. They got to score them, and they got to score them now because time is running out to get in the playoffs and build off of getting in last year. Cesar Luis Menotti, 84 years old, the 78 World Cup winning manager, the Argentine, huge figure in the game. Managed huge teams, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Boca Juniors, River, Peñarol, coached Mexico for a year. He's got some serious health problems right now. Sorry to hear that. We go to break here. We want to remind you, big thank you to LamontBrands.com. Get over to LamontBrands.com. T-shirts, hats, they benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. Also, to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Look, you get in an accident, you need the best. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I'm pushing it to John and his firm because they are the best in personal injury attorneys. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm. They are by Loon. At least not yet. Coco. Coco. Coco! Coco Carrasquilla, he has hit the net. 2-1 Dynamo. Fort Lauderdale or bust.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, that overtime period from the Dynamo, defeating RSL takes them. September 27th, they'll play in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup against Inter Miami against Lionel Messi and company. All right, got a couple of things here quickly to tell you. Haji Wright, the guy who scored in the World Cup for the U.S., you remember Haji, $10 million transfer to Coventry. We mentioned Hector Herrera returning to the Mexican national team setup. Why not? Australia is playing up in Dallas-Fort Worth, so maybe that's the game he plays in. Could he come back and not playing the Uzbekistan game? I don't know, but his performance has warranted it. And you got to think he would be a great guy nurturing young players. Santi Jimenez, the Mexican international, with the pair for Feyenoord. 2-1 over Almere City. I'm laughing because Guillermo's in there thrusting his fist up in the air. Tata Martino, head coach of Inter Miami, said this. MLS not playing through international windows in the future could be a reality. That came out in an interview yesterday, I believe, and that means a number of things. The increased quality of players that are playing internationally in MLS, that's a good sign. John Herdman is a new TFC coach, will take over, I believe, in October. Very different for him. He's going to have to do it on a day-to-day basis like Todd Ramos did with the Dynamo. Former Women's National Team Coach of Canada, Men's National Team Coach, Sunderland Youth Academy, New Zealand, but has never done it on a day-to-day basis with a club. That's one to keep an eye on. It's a very different thing to do than coach national teams. All right, September 1st, the Premier League transfer window will close. And let's not forget what Inter Miami did, by the way. We were talking a lot with Messi and Patrick Creighton. They created a safe container for him. They got him the right manager, Tata Martino. They got him Jordi Alba. They got him Sergio Busquets. These types of things are important as opposed to just plopping them down into a team, right? And we've seen MLS teams do that. And in a way, the Dynamo with an improved roster, Artur, Coco, around Hector Herrera. You know, you come from Atletico Madrid, you have to be willing to change also. And Hector has done that. It's been pretty fantastic. All right, so I put the question out about, you know, is Messi the most impactful signing? 713-780-3776 in any league in the United States in its history. And we've gotten a lot of good takes from people. Jeff P. says, any pro league in the U.S.? Not a chance. Brady, Jordan, etc. Even in MLS, it's not clear to me he's been a bigger impact than Beckham, at least not yet. I think we've forgotten how big Beckham's sustained presence and exposure was for the brand in MLS. Biggest global star, definitely a shout. So Michael Jordan in the NBA. Yeah, okay, yes, it did ascend the NBA. But again, it's not as global as MLS. And these are differing time periods, so I think we have to keep that in question. 713-780-3776. Real Tigre Martinez says, I'd say so. After Pelé joined, they went to two NASL Soccer Bowl finals, had regular season games being broadcast on ABC. Yeah, that's a bump up. I like that. At a time when there were only three networks. Plus, attendance rose from an average of 10,000 to 35, with one game attracting 77. That's strictly the Cosmos. The attendance overall in the league did not grow exponentially at all. In fact, it always did when Pelé and company came to town. All these clubs run mom and pop all of a sudden had huge crowds they had to deal with. But there were clubs that definitely, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, these were places that were definitely packing them in. Harry said, not sure anyone can top MJ and James for off-field and on-field production. Yeah, I don't think in the end, off the field, they're going to match what Messi ultimately does. But there is no question, you know, the whole MJ and Larry Bird thing, I think, did raise the NBA to next level. Dreamshake says, does Magic Bird impact on saving the league? Ooh, good one from Dreamshake. Jordan making it what it is now count, college to pro? Why not? Captain Tweet Mitchell said, it could have been Hideki Irabu for the Yankees. There you go. Belle to the Cosmos in the 70s is another one. All right, so 713-780-3776. Let's get some thoughts on the Houston Dynamo. So it's three in a row for the Dynamo. They are scoring goals in a big, big way. Eight changes in their last game at Real Salt Lake as they got back to Major League Soccer allowed the Dynamo to play a bit of a pressing game out there. It allowed them to get rest for a number of players. So they were able to rest a bunch of guys, and this was rotation that really helped. So Eric Svechenko, Nelson Quiñones, they all had an opportunity to get a bit of break, So there was rotation from Ben Olsen. Very good. I liked Brad Smith, naturally left-footed, bringing width. I liked Aliyu on the right. Another good move, I think, by Ben Olsen, because he's not scoring goals in the center forward position. Corey Baird, for the moment, is. So you go into the game tomorrow, you got some rotation in against Columbus. And Columbus is a good goal-scoring team. Cucho Hernandez, they now have Diego Rossi and Julian Gressel. They picked those guys up. Gressel's one of the best wide guys in MLS. He's going to be a challenge for whoever gets the start at left back. The Dynamo also got to rest Franco Escobar in that position. So Columbus made a great recovery from the movement of Lucas El Arayan to Saudi Arabia. That's interesting. So, all right, the last three games. Goals have rained down, the final third, scoring goals, taking chances, efficiency, getting leads in games. It's all happening in the last three. It was against Portland and RSL, two consecutive games. Two teams that do have problems, not taking away a single thing from the Dynamo. They were clearly the dominant team in all facets in those three games. But scoring goals is the difference between playoffs or not. So can this continue? Can this continue? Will we be talking about Coco Karaskia, Corey Baird scoring more goals? So let's do a little bit of a rundown on players. Steve Clark, much better as of late. His experience is needed down the stretch. He's been protected wonderfully. He's a veteran. The Dynamo need him. Griffin Dorsey became the starter at right back due to the strong League's Cup run of four games. He really was the width. He was the only guy really bringing the width to the Houston Dynamo. Because a lot of times the interior inverted nature of Nelson Quiñones brought him inside. But Griffin Dorsey, I mean, was spearheading attacks. And then he would also cut inside. So, I mean, he's the starting right back. I expect him to be back in the lineup tomorrow, from what I know. We'll see. Eric Sviatchenko. We got European pedigree with him. Harden knows the tricks of a center back. Super signing. Has that good long diagonal ball he can hit. And you watch him play. He's a cerebral center back, right? Mikael, what a great surprise he's been. Cheap labor. Comes up from Dynamo 2. He showed us last year he's composed. Strength, power. Makes you forget teenage Adebi a little bit, doesn't he? Daniel Steris, Swiss Army knife. Scorer of key goals, including the header in the recent game against RSL. Team player. He's been up to every challenge Ben Olsen's given him, being a center back playing in the outside back positions. Artur, shield, starter of the attack, protector, huge upgrade in that position for the Dynamo. Hector, we already talked about. Bossy, it took a while to get him going, but to keep him, you know, both central now more in this box midfield, that's a benefit for Amin, because Amin was played out wide in the beginning and it was just too much running for him. He's got knife-like technique. He's the perfect complementary player for other big players that do most of the orchestrating in midfield, and that's Herrera and Artur. But he's good, man, and he's not going to miss you from the penalty spot. So he's been solid, good signing. Coco, scorer goals in two straight. Let's hope that continues. Played out of position based on Herrera and Artur. Very different role in Panama. We've said that a lot. He is so fun to watch. Could he go on a goal-scoring streak? Let's hope so. Is Corey Baird going to go on one? We hope so. But so good. You know, those three guys, Artur, Hector, and, of course, Coco, they're also guys that can get out of pressure with the ball at their feet. You got to have those guys. We didn't have those guys in the past. Aliyu has not been confident as a center forward. He adds a lot. There's no question. He's contributed in a lot of ways. And I think Ben Olsen did a good job moving him wide. Take the pressure off. He gave the team width in the last game against RSL. Does a lot of good things. He has not hit the goal-scoring measurement, though. So for now, he's being moved to winger. And look, he was brought here to be a center forward. Got a change on the fly. Ben Olsen's doing that. Corey Baird now understands the center forward position so much better than those first nine games. His movement now is productive. It's effective. It's got purpose. Early in the year, it seemed like he was just running. And now he's scoring goals. By the way, he's got an incentive-based contract, I believe. And that is motivation in itself. In other words, hitting certain numbers, you get paid more. His sophisticated run, that little feint where he was going to go in front of Silva, the center back for RSL, and then he goes behind him. So he goes behind him, right? And now the center back's glued to the cross. He doesn't know where Corey Baird is. And he got on the blind side of him. That was fantastic. That was sophisticated. Quiñones, inverted, has made some things happen. But just when you think he's breaking away and getting behind the defense, he cuts it back and everybody's back behind the ball for the opponent. Now, that may be tactical, right? Because I think Ben Olsen at that point wants a narrow game when the ball's lost. That's part of the inverted game. That's why it's going to be interesting tomorrow. Does Ben continue with a little bit more width on both sides of the field, or does it go back to a little bit more of an inverted nature? But Quiñones has done diligent work defensively, large upside for that young man. So you got guys like Quiñones, Fiachenko, Artur, Dorsey, Bossy, all got a nice blow and a nice rest in this last game with the eight changes, and it worked out brilliantly. Sebastian Kowalczyk, busy, responsible, still need more of a sample size on him. He set up Hector beautifully to the end line. Hector should have put that on target. But he looks adaptable, and he's growing into what the Dynamo are doing here. Brad Smith, goal and assist as of late. He's coming up. Great interview. That's going to be left back position. Still is not sorted out based on his injury. It's been Escobar. And then the emergence of Griffin Dorsey. So these are all these things that happen over the course of a season in MLS, where you have time to correct things and learn things about your own team. And this is happening with Ben Olsen and the Dynamo. This is happening with Columbus, too. But the Dynamo are a far better team through tactical understanding, application, better team shape, structure, more dangerous in attack currently. Can they keep it going? Signings have paid off. There's still no go-to finisher yet, I believe. There is for the moment with the short sample size, but I don't know. And I think we got to get there. And we'll see, because it's go time now in Major League Soccer. It may emerge. And it may be Corey Baird. Corey's banging in goals. Wow. That was a mouthful. Okay. Now you're going to get me to shut up for a while. And we're going to hear from Brad Smith coming up, Christian Ramirez of Columbus. You're going to get to hear also from a great bluesman and a great guitar player who's got a great album out. He's going to be playing at the Continental Club, Eric Johansson. Johansson. You got to get that right. Johansson. He'll be coming up. All right. We're going to take a break here. Don't forget tomorrow night. I think, Brian, we are 7 o'clock, right? We are 7 o'clock tomorrow night with the pregame show. We'll have a lot of Ben Olsen sound in that one. We'll get some sound from Columbus. That is a big game tomorrow night. Right now, as we go to break, courtesy of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, a pair of tickets to Dynamo Crew, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, and that's caller number 4 right now. Pair of tickets, Dynamo Columbus Crew, tomorrow night at Shell Energy Stadium.